I don't think we'd been speeding for very long, but I guess it was long enough. Alfred was the first to spot the officer's car parked on the side of the road. We had just zoomed over a hill and bingo, there he was at the bottom. All at once, the roof of his car began flashing blue and red lights. I mean, it looked like a prairie fire up there.
Uh-oh, Mom. Looks like you got nailed.
I noticed that Sally Mae's eyes rolled so far up in her head that they just sort of vanished for a moment. Kind of scared me, to tell you the truth. But then she snapped out of it, pulled over to the side of the road, and came to a stop. She left the motor running. Maybe she wasn't sure it would start again. Good thinking. She drummed her fingers on the steering wheel and took a deep breath. The officer came walking up to the window, a nice-looking fellow with brown eyes and a round face. On his shirt, he wore a little nameplate that said, Rocha. Good morning, ma'am. Sally Mae managed a smile.
Good morning, Officer Rocha.
We've met before on this road, haven't we?
Yes, Officer Rocha, we have met before on this road.
She took a deep breath of air.
Officer Rocha, this has been a very bad morning for me. My husband's dog was bitten by a rattlesnake.
She pointed to me. I wagged my tail and tried to squeeze up a big smile for the officer, but, well, squeezed up some more foam and drool on my mouth.
And I'm trying to rush him to the veterinarian.
Yes, ma'am. I had you clocked at 62 coming off that hill.
And I'm very sorry.
He nodded and smiled. May I see your driver's license? Her eyes went blank for a moment, then darted to the seat beside her.
Officer Rocha, would you believe that I remembered to load the dog and the children, but forgot my purse?
Lines of concern gathered on his brow. That's not so good. He took down her name, address, and so forth, and wrote it down on a pad. Does this pickup belong to you, ma'am?
No, sir. It belongs to our hired hand, and I wish I'd never seen it.
Did you know that the license tag was expired? There was a long, throbbing silence.
No, Officer Rocha, I didn't know that.
3 months ago. And maybe you didn't notice, but the inspection sticker is out of date, too.
I'll kill him.
The officer stepped back and cocked his ear. I'm guessing that your hired hand needs a new muffler.
Believe me, the next time I see him, he'll get a new muffler.
He returned to the window. By any chance, are you carrying proof of insurance? Sally Mae leaned across the seat and opened the glove box. It contained one greasy glove, a petrified apple, and 3 mud dauber's nests. She slammed it shut.
Officer Rocha, who will take care of my children while I'm in prison?
He got a laugh out of that. And then he started writing out tickets. Ma'am, I'm going to let you go with 3 warning tickets, but I'll have to cite you for not carrying your driver's license. Just sign all these on the line. She slashed her name across the bottom of all 4 tickets. The officer gave her copies. When you get your dog fixed, I'd recommend that you not drive this pickup until it's tagged and inspected.
That, sir, will happen.
And in Texas, we do require proof of insurance.
Yes, sir.
Watch the speed, ma'am, and have a good day. For some reason, she started laughing.
I'm sorry, officer, but this is one of the worst days of my life.
Well, I hope it gets better. He returned to his car. Sally Mae ground the gears until she found one that would work, and off we went with a chug and a cloud of blue smoke. There wasn't much conversation on this last leg of the trip. Little Alfred must have sensed that this would be a good time to observe total silence. And so did I. I hardly dared to breathe. Even Molly was quiet. Sally Mae, on the other hand, had quite a bit to say, but she said most of it under her breath, where we couldn't hear it. I picked up just enough to know that this was not the day for joking or idle chatter. At last, we reached the vet clinic over on the east side of town. Dr. Hardy was a pleasant man, but his office made me nervous. It was filled with strange devices and odd smells. I took one look around the place and said, "I'll see you folks back at the ranch," and headed for the door. But he had already closed it. At that point, I tried to hide beneath a chair, but he and Sally Mae dragged me out. I had all claws extended and set in the anchor position, but the floor was made of slick linoleum, and I couldn't get a grip. They put me up on a metal table. I liked the vet right up to the moment when he came at me with that needle, and at that point, I decided to bite him. But somehow he distracted me with smooth talk and ear scratching, and, well, before I knew it, he was finished, and I never got around to... Maybe next time, when I felt better. He told Sally Mae that I would be swollen for several days, and that I should stay in a cool place with plenty of water close by. To which she said,
"I hope that doesn't mean my house."
"Well, that's up to you. The cooler, the better." He lifted me off the table and set me on the floor. "The good news on these snake bites is that the dog builds up an immunity. The next time he gets bitten, he won't be so sick." Sally Mae's eyes narrowed.
"Next time? You don't think he's learned anything from this?"
"No, they never learn. Sometimes they go right back to the same place and the same snake and do it all over again until the snake either moves out or dies from exhaustion. Some of these old ranch dogs get two or three bites every summer, and their owners don't even bother to bring them in." I could hardly conceal my outrage at this disgraceful and insulting. Who or whom did he think he was talking about? Maybe your ordinary ranch mutts went back to the same place and the same snake and got bit again, but hey, I was no ordinary ranch mutt. I was the head of ranch security, and for his information and for the record, I learned quickly and never forgot any of life's painful lessons. And there would be no more snake bites for me, thank you, doctor. And all at once, I didn't think he was such a swell guy, spreading lies and phony information, and I had a suspicion that he'd bought that diploma on the wall somewhere. Sears and Roebuck, maybe. And besides that, he was an Aggie. And what did an Aggie doctor know about dogs or anything else? Yes, I was outraged. He had lost all credulity with me. Next time, I would just take my doctoring business somewhere else. Although there wouldn't be a next time. I should have bitten him when I'd had the chance. Dogs never learn. The very idea. I'd never been so insulted. We made the drive home without any major wrecks or incidents with the police department. Oh, we did make one stop at the fireworks stand on the south edge of town, of all places. That didn't make any sense to me until later, and then it made quite a lot of sense. You'll see. When we got back to headquarters, Sally Mae got some rags and gunny sacks and maybe a little bed in the shade beside the water storage tank. I suppose she figured that would be the coolest spot for a dog in my condition, although I gave her sad looks and slow wags to remind her that, well, it would probably be quite a bit cooler and nicer inside the house. She had an air conditioner, don't you see? And while I didn't really approve of air conditioners for ranch dogs, this was kind of a special case. I mean, me being sick and everything. Swollen up. Terrible fever. Raging terrible fever. Okay, maybe I was feeling better after getting the shot from that phony vet, but still, it's foolish to take chances with the head of ranch security, right? But we didn't succeed in selling that idea to the lady of the house, so to speak. And I took up residence beside the storage tank and settled into a long and boring period of recuperation. It was long and boring. Drover came up to keep me company, but that made it only longer and boringer. In spite of all his many flaws, he is a boring dog. At last, he even bored himself and went away. That left just me and the flies. The flies were terrible. They were driving me nuts. I hate flies. And then, you'll never guess who arrived on the scene. Hint, two big, black, ugly birds whose presence was not exactly an omen of good fortune.